Blog Talk Radio.
People you need to know. It's time for people you need to know. It's time for people you need to know on the radio.
Welcome to People You Need to Know on Internet Radio. I'm your host, Sparkplug, publisher of People You Need to Know, Metro Atlanta's premier business spotlight publication, where we promote business people you can call today. In this segment, we're going to be talking about injury and injury prevention. My guest today is the medical director of Surgical Health Collective, an organization dedicated to providing the best overall care for general surgical and medical problems. A 1973 graduate of City College in New York, he completed Meharry Medical School in 1977. In addition, my guest finished the Howard University Hospital Surgical Residency Program in 1982. He is board certified in general surgery and in surgical critical care. It is my honor and good fortune to have on the show today a doctor who is dedicated to helping people with skill and caring. Dr. Mark Walker, welcome to the show.
Well, Sparkplug, thank you so much for your show and the work that you have done and providing these opportunities for us to share information with the community.
All right. Well, we know you're busy, so let's get right down to the nitty-gritty. Dr. Walker, what do the numbers say about injury and injury prevention?
Well, Sparkplug, this is a major problem that we face in America today and indeed throughout the world. But just looking at America, some 160,000 people die annually in this country from injury. We know that for those less than 44 years of age, injury accounts for the leading cause of years of potential life lost. So for the very young and for those who are in the prime of their lives, injury is a major burden. We also know that some 400,000 people are permanently disabled on an annual basis. And if we look at economic impact, we spend approximately $650 billion annually looking at direct and indirect cost related to acute injury. There are more than 2.8 million people hospitalized each and every year related to injury. And we continue to see a very serious epidemic of interpersonal violence in the metropolitan areas throughout this country. So injury is a major problem, and it carries a tremendous burden for each and every one of us.
Wow. How do doctors provide care for a multiple injured trauma victim?
There are two important concepts. The first is teamwork. No one physician can care for an injured patient by him or herself. And so there are a team of physicians as well as healthcare professionals that are brought together to provide the highest level of care possible for those who have been acutely injured. In addition to this, there has to be a systematic approach to caring for those who have been injured. And this systematic approach has been developed and documented using what's called the Advanced Trauma Life Support course that many physicians take, physicians who work in emergency rooms, general surgeons, family physicians, and others. They take this course in order to review the protocol and the pathways needed to care for the acutely injured.
What is the most important priorities that doctors face when they treat a trauma victim?
Well, there are three major priorities, and they are airway, breathing, and circulation. The airway is the top priority, and the physicians caring for the acutely injured must make certain that the airway is patent or open. If the airway is blocked, then that blockage has to be relieved because this will allow adequate oxygen to get into the lungs from the ambient environment. And then secondly, breathing. The doctors must make certain that the lungs are filling with air and they are evacuating air properly. And then finally, circulation. And as you know, circulation is vital to life, and so the doctors must make certain that the heart is pumping properly and that the blood pressure is maintained. So airway, breathing, and circulation, or the ABCs, are critical in the initial evaluation of a trauma victim.
Dr. Walker, how is shock detected and how is it treated?
To begin with, shock represents inadequate tissue perfusion. The vital organs of the body, the heart, the liver, the brain, the kidneys, the lungs, those organs and tissues must be perfused so that oxygen and other substrates can get to the cells. Well, shock is inadequate perfusion, and it's detected clinically by examining a person and by assessing the vital signs. A person in shock may have cool and clammy extremities. Their pulse may be rapid and thready. They may have evidence of sweating called diaphoresis. And if one looks at the vital signs, the blood pressure is low, the pulse rate is elevated, the person may appear very, very anxious. And if we see this constellation of findings, we can make a clinical diagnosis of shock.
Let's talk a little bit about blood transfusions. Are they always needed?
Excellent question, Sparkplug. And it really relates to what we just covered with shock. The most common cause of shock in the acute setting related to trauma is blood loss. And so the need for blood transfusions is one that is always assessed by the doctors caring for the acutely injured. The good news is that the majority of people who have sustained trauma do not require a blood transfusion. But there is a small percentage of the most severely injured victims who will require blood transfusions. It's important to note that the blood supply is safe. There are many safeguards and protocols in place to ensure that the risk of any viral transmission via a blood transfusion is minimized. So when blood is needed, it's important for us to understand that the blood supply overall is safe.
Well, what about fractures? How are fractures fixed?
Fractures, another very important source of potential blood loss. We can lose more than a pint of blood from some large bone fractures, and fractures have to be stabilized. There is a concept that we've learned from world wars that reflects splinting or stabilization of a fracture site. Because once the fracture site is splinted, this will prevent movement of the disrupted bone and minimize continued blood loss. We need to also characterize fractures as to whether they are open or closed. An open fracture, also referred to as a compound fracture, is associated with a break in the skin and soft tissues. A closed fracture is one where the skin and soft tissues remain intact. And so fractures are fixed with casts if they are closed, and they sometimes are fixed with various plates and screws if they are closed. And if they are contaminated and open, or a compound fracture of a severe degree, an external fixation device may be needed. And that device implies that there is fixation of the fracture site by placing rods above and below the fracture and connecting those rods to a rigid frame. This holds the fracture site and stabilizes it in place and allows the physician to care for the wound of the skin and soft tissue that has occurred.
What if my loved one is attached to a breathing machine?
This is something that is needed for patients who have sustained multi-system injuries involving different areas of the body. As you know, brain injury is a major problem that we see in the setting of motor vehicle collisions. And oftentimes people who have sustained a serious brain injury will have to be on ventilatory support. And this is the breathing machine that we're familiar with. A tube is placed into the windpipe, and the person is connected to the ventilator. And this provides oxygen to the individual and eliminates the heavy work of breathing that sometimes is seen in people who have sustained multiple system injury. It's important for families to remember, even though a person may be on a breathing machine, this does not mean that they will have to have this type of support forever. And so ordinarily, the breathing machine use or the ventilator use is a temporary bridge device to give the individual a chance to heal.
So what would be considered a long period of time for a patient or someone to be on a breathing machine?
Excellent question, Sparkplug. Typically, we look in terms of weeks, and an individual who is going to be on a breathing machine for a period longer than 10 to 14 days, we would recommend insertion of a tracheostomy tube. And this tube allows care of the airway by the nursing personnel and the respiratory therapist. This is a tube that is placed in through the neck, the front part of the neck, and that endotracheal tube, the tube entering the mouth and going into the windpipe, can be removed. This tube is much more comfortable, the tracheostomy tube that is, for the person who has been injured as opposed to that endotracheal tube that comes in through the mouth. And so at the end of that 10 to 14 day period, we would recommend that a tracheostomy tube be placed. If it's clear that the injuries are so severe, that tracheostomy tube may be placed earlier in the hospital course.
Well, Dr. Walker, before we bring this interview to a close, let's talk a little bit about damaged limbs. Can a severely damaged limb be salvaged?
Absolutely. But we have to remember that one's life is much more important than one's limb. And so in those instances where there's been tremendous contamination, there's been disruption of blood vessels and nerves, in that instance, the better part of valor may be to proceed with a completion amputation as opposed to trying to restore a limb or reconnect a limb in that particular instance. But there are certainly other cases in which the limb can be preserved with careful restoration of blood supply to the limb and antibiotic therapy to fight off infection. So yes, a severely damaged limb can be salvaged, but we have to look at the entire person and make sure that we don't do anything that could potentially be life-threatening.
At the end of the day, Dr. Walker, what can I do to prevent injury?
It's important for all of us to be aware of injury prevention and the things that we can do in our daily lives that can make a difference. We know that motor vehicle collisions represent a major cause of injury in the country today. And so all of us should adhere to the rules of the road, Sparkplug. We need to drive 55 to stay alive. We need to wear our seatbelts. We need to make sure that our children are protected in safety restraint devices appropriate for age. In the South, oftentimes we see people in the back of pickup trucks, and this is something that definitely needs to be avoided. We need to avoid stopping on the side of the road and getting out of our vehicles because many people have been injured by passing cars in that instance. And of course, if there's inclement weather, we need to pull off of the road and get to shelter during those bad driving conditions. In addition to this, all of us need to be aware of interpersonal violence and the role that alcohol and drugs play in the evolution of this problem. And we should take precautions to keep our drinking in balance and to avoid driving after drinking. It's important for all of us in our churches, our schools, our hospitals to take steps to prevent injury so that we can decrease the burden of injury and acute illness in America and throughout the world.
Well, Dr. Walker, how can some of our listeners contact the Surgical Health Collective?
Well, our number is area code 404-761-7482. That telephone number again is 404-761-7482. And we do have a website, www.surgicalhealthcollective.com. And we'd be happy to respond to any questions or queries related to injury and injury prevention.
All right. Well, Dr. Mark Walker, Medical Director of Surgical Health Collective, I'd like to thank you for being with us today and sharing such valuable information. You've been listening to People You Need to Know on Internet Radio. I'd like to thank my producer, Ms. Jacqueline Benjamin Thomas, for another award-winning job. For more information about our guests, log on to sparkplugpeople.com. Until next time, always remember that you can add a spark to whatever you do. And thanks for tuning in.
Once again, you've been listening to People You Need to Know on Internet Radio. To be a guest on our show, please send your request to businesscelebrity@gmail.com or give us a call at 770-460-5995.